Blog Talk Radio.
Like a computer virus causing much harm in its wake. One reason it eludes our scrutiny is because of the media blackout that follows each election. Our lack of information and attention compound the problem. Telus has caught America's press puppies in delecto, bedded down with their corporate patrons. Instead of covering the elections, they cover it up. Telus explains this libacious twist in the creation of the corporate new entertainment complex. He shows the media has become a weapon on a mass distraction for the American people. It was Greg Palast who busted Katherine Harris and Jeb Bush in 2000 when they swiped the Florida election by purging tens of thousands of eligible voters, mostly guilty of voting while black. Whoops.
Okay.
You cut that off.
That's all right. We're going to talk to Greg in just a second here. I'm going to dial him.
What he has to say for himself.
It should be something. I'll tell you, Greg's
order. He certainly has brought up a lot of wonderful issues.
Please, is that this number? They said this is landline.
Hello, you've reached Greg Palast. Please leave a message and we'll call you back. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Greg. I'm going to leave this number, 646-915-9505. This is Leo from the L.A. Steel Show. If you get this, I'll try your cell phone number. Thanks. Okay. And hopefully we can get him on his cell phone. These things happen sometimes. You never know if you're going to reach somebody. Usually they do, but Greg's a busy guy.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if when that movie is coming out or it is out.
I believe it is out.
Maybe there'll be a...
I'm
sure they have some kind. He has some kind of system.
Hello, Greg Palast. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Greg.
Can't hear you.
Great. Is this Greg?
Yes,
hello.
It is.
Hi, Greg. This is Leo and Lila from the L.A. Steel Show. How are you?
Oh, great. Are we supposed to be on the air now, or are you asking?
Yeah, I was supposed to shout at five after. I was calling you there. I left the message on your landline too. But have you got a few seconds for us here? Or?
Yeah, but I'm on a cell phone, as you can tell, because I'm at the theater.
Yeah.
Okay. So and this is
can
I can
you
barely
all right.
hear
yeah,
you.
We,
yeah.
We,
okay.
Your voice is very strong, Greg.
Yeah, it's clear.
Okay. Okay. So now I'm losing. Wait, let me try again so I can hear you. Where are you calling from?
This is the L.A. Steel Show from Connecticut. Remember us?
Ah, yes, of course.
Remember us? Yeah, yeah. Actually, when you first came out with this book back in 03 or 04.
Right, now, now it's a totally rewritten. I just took the title because it was such a big bestseller.
Right,
I'll put a new book inside an old title.
Listen, I was very curious. What you said that the blacks will become,
extinct as voters.
Extinct as voters, and you think this whole election is going to be rigged by the Republicans again. Who are they going to rig it for?
Well, I don't know if they can rig the whole. They can't steal all the votes all the time. So, okay. So should we record? Are we recording or going? Are we recording going live? What's our story?
Yeah,
live. We're live.
We're live now. Yeah, we're live.
Oh, we're live right now. Then I better put on
yes,
live right now.
That's all right.
Okay, great.
And you're being recorded as well, but you are live.
Both.
Greg,
in your
opinion, who is the election going to be rigged for?
the billionaires. That's
so
the point. So the subtitle of the film,
right,
is A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. So it's the best democracy money can buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And by the way, we still have a couple day run in New York. Josh Fox will be here tonight, Gary Null tomorrow, and some other celebs, and I think Jill Stein is about to show up. So the billionaires. So the billionaires are the winners here. They're the ones that are backing the shenanigans for a reason. It's not Republican versus Democrat. It's them versus us. It's the 1% of the 1% of the 1% versus everyone.
Yeah.
And so in this film, which is based, the name The Best Democracy Money Can Buy is based on my old bestseller from 10 years ago, which was, you know, top of the bestsellers for a long time. But in fact, it's a whole new story based on my investigations for Rolling Stone and the BBC. And it's about the latest scam they have for knocking out minority votes. And yes, most of the film, because most of the racial purging, the attack on voters of color, of course, that's generally to the advantage of the Republicans in general elections. Democrats are very good at going after minority voters in primaries. We see plenty of that. But this is aiming towards the theft. I'm describing the theft of the 2016 election, which is a crime in progress. And, you know, because Donald Trump says the election's rigged. And, of course, he should know because his buddies are rigging it. And that's what. So I'm investigating how they're doing it, and I uncover the main ways that they're doing it. And one of the key things in this film that you find, it's also in my Rolling Stone series, is a gimmick called cross-check. Because if you listen to Donald Trump very carefully, get the whole sentence. He's for 2 years, he's actually been saying the election's rigged. And he's, the second part of his phrase is because people are voting many times. People are voting many, many times, multiple times. Now, understand what he's saying. He's saying that one person is casting more than one vote. That's a federal crime. So if that's really true, then why aren't you arresting these people? But here's what's evil. It's not just Trump blowing through his comb over. It is a systematic program of 30 Republican voting officials, secretaries of state, the state officials in charge of voting in Republican-controlled states, who are systematically wiping out the registrations of black folk, Latinos, and Asian American voters, who, by the way, vote like they've turned black because they vote about 80% Democratic. And so this is the investigation of how I uncovered it, how they're doing it, and then I bring in some other ways that they steal the vote, and then I go after the billionaires who are funding it. And so I know it sounds like a documentary, but it's what I call it's actually a movie. It's a nonfiction movie. It's not based on real stuff. It is.
Right.
You're actually seeing my investigation live, but there's a lot of things that go on in my brain. For example, when I don't know what to do, the next step of the investigation, I fall asleep at a bar, which is something I often do. Fall asleep at a bar while watching Law and Order on the bar TV, and Ice-T and Detective Munch jump out of the TV set, Richard Belzer and Ice-T, and help me on the investigation. And that really happens, or it happens in my mind. And then when I try to figure out and explain, for example, how this billionaire crashed the mortgage market, the number one billionaire behind Donald Trump, people have something wrong. Donald Trump is not a billionaire. He just plays one on TV. The real billionaire behind him is a guy named J.P., the foreclosure king, who ripped off the mortgage market in 2008 for $5 billion personally, not his company or anything like that. He personally earned $5 billion, more than anyone since the Pharaohs. And I explained this in a cartoon. I got the guy who did Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
So he did cartoons throughout this. So it's kind of like Roger Rabbit. It's kind of part cartoon, part fun stuff, and then part live as it happens investigation. And the cartoon is narrated by Santa Claus. otherwise known as Ed Asner, who, you know, played Santa in the in the
perfect.
Will Ferrell films. Yeah, so Santa narrates the cartoons, and then we have to illustrate this system of cross check where they're wiping out minority voters. I capture a minority voter because what they're saying is that black people and Latinos are voting twice. Notice they voted more than one state. Remember that's Trump's con.
I remember that
line. And so, for example, they're saying that if a woman named Maria Hernandez votes in Georgia, and this is an actual example, another woman named Maria Hernandez votes in Louisiana, or not a different one, but they say Maria Hernandez is listed as voting in two states. They say, aha, that's someone illegally voting twice. Because, obvious, Maria Hernandez, because Maria Hernandez is not a common name for Republicans, right? So they knock
right.
out. Huh? What?
That's probably true. God.
And so what happens is, like, for example, in the actual list that I got of people that they were removing from the voter rolls, and Maria Hernandez is a real example, one Maria Hernandez is Maria Isabel Hernandez, and the other one is Maria Cristina Hernandez. And yet they're registered with two different middle names, but they still claim it's the same voter, and they're removing both of them from the voter rolls. So we're looking at, there are 7 million names on the suspect list, and they're going to remove about 1 million by November. So in the film, I show by the way, the reason why people don't know about this scheme is that they've kept all the information confidential. They won't give anyone, they don't even give government people are not allowed to see these documents because they say it's a criminal investigation. People voting twice, it's a federal crime. So it's a criminal investigation, you can't look at the records. But that's what I do as an investigative reporter. I get the confidential records. So we get the records. I get 2 million names. And it's all minorities. And it's all, one in four names are mismatched. The middle names don't match. They have literally junior and senior. Like if there's a Jesse Jackson Jr. and Jesse Jackson Sr., they both lose their vote because they're obviously the same voter, not father and son. I can't make this up. That's how raw and ugly it is. But they kept it hidden until I busted it. And it's in the film.
Yeah. No, how are they actually, the FBI now is supposed to be monitoring the elections this year, okay, to avoid hacking and so on?
No, much less. The FBI, because the Justice Department has ruled that because the Voting Rights Act has been substantially gutted, by the Supreme Court, that the normal monitoring has been reduced substantially. That they don't have, that the Justice Department, FBI, remember, is part of the Justice Department. Mm-hmm. That the Justice Department and FBI don't have the right to be monitoring states as they did before. I think they're wrong, but that's a big problem. You don't have the monitoring systems that you had before, and it's not in the law. It used to be that you couldn't do stuff like purge voters under the Voting Rights Act unless you notified the federal government and certified that you weren't picking on voters of color. Mm-hmm. Well, the system of removing double voters with similar names is clearly racist. Who's named James Brown?
8 years ago, Obama stood up in Congress and refused to support that.
That was actually 10 years ago. I believe it was right after the 2004 election, and when they Kerry actually won. That. You covered that.
Yes, I've written about that. That's also in the film, because in the film we go back into the history of vote theft.
Right.
Now, I do it in an interesting way because, I go back to 2000 when Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush removed thousands of black men saying that they were ex-cons, criminals not allowed to vote.
Right.
And I busted that. I got the list and none. We had 56,000 black men who were removed from the voter rolls. Not a single one. Not one was an illegal voter. Not one. That's how George Bush became president. Now, how do I bring it into the film? Because I don't want this to be some type of dull history lesson. I get the guy who drew Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and he turned it into a complete Saturday morning cartoon, you know, with the dynamic duo of Jeb and Catherine. And that's, you know, so I'm taking some very serious, dark stuff and trying to keep it interesting. And until towards the end, it's pretty darn funny. People are laughing through the whole thing. But then, you know, there's a certain point where I have to, like, lay it down and say, here's the sad story, ladies and gentlemen. Plus, I go after these billionaires, me and my sidekick, Lenny Badpenny, who everyone thinks is a made-up character. She isn't. She is really my investigations chief, my partner in these investigations. And the two of us, because I don't do this stuff alone. I have a team, and she's the leader of the team. And we go undercover. I wear a fedora. If you know Greg Palast, you know, I usually wear a fedora everywhere, a hat. But I have several. And one of them, and you'll never know which one, has a camera hidden in it. And so we use that, and we use the hidden microphones and all that stuff, and we get into Hampton's soirees. We take a powerboat, you know, so we look like we belong with the billionaires, munching their brunch. And that's how we jump some of these billionaires who are paying for the fixing of this election.
Oh.
Well, I'm looking greatly forward to seeing this, but I do have to ask you, who financed your movie? Who financed your movie? Did you self-finance?
It was Well, there are three ways it's financed. We had, Josh Fox, who is going to be at the showing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be with him, who did the film, the wonderful film Gasland. In fact, that's him right now in the other line. Hang on. I got to get off just a second. So go to a commercial for a second while I talk to the great Josh Fox. Hang on.
Okay. We're
on the air with Greg Palast, who wrote The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and he's updated that. And he is in a movie.
The best democracy money can buy.
And it's updated, though, for 2016. And he's presented it in a humorous way. It's very dry material, but it's very scary material. And it shows how our elections have been hijacked. You know, there's a lot of history with that, going back to 2000, I think he talked about. In his book, and he'll probably be having pieces of that in his movie. But I think he's, from what he said to us just a few minutes ago, he's concentrating more on things that are happening today. More timely.
Yeah, he's right now. He's in, I believe he's in California, and he is at his own hearing, his own premiere or something.
It's like a premiere for the movie.
Yeah, for tonight.
Where the actors and actresses are coming to it. And I hope the movie is released so that people can see it. I think it'd be very exciting.
It is released, I think, tonight. You know,
where it's going. You know,
right.
Whether it goes to small theaters or...
I don't know. I'll have to ask him. But he's not back with us yet.
So he'll be back in a few minutes. So what else is in this little thing that he... the venerated Palast has been called outrageous by Michael Moore. John Pilger says Palast, facts are like hand grenades. With Palast's immutable style, funny than Michael Moore, more substantial than Naomi Klein, The Guardian, Palast says Jim Hightower is a cross... excuse me. I'm going to sneeze.
There's a cross between Sam Spade and Sherlock Holmes.
Pardon me.
And his documentary investigation shows just how true that statement is. And Rev Sharpton, L. Sharpton, likens Palast to Oreo cookie, white on the outside and black on the inside. And Noam Chomsky reports that Palast upsets all the right people. More Palast worked in. Work is that funny, heartbreaking, and Jason Alexander thanks Palast for
fucking up my life with truth.
Yeah. Jason Alexander was George in the Seinfeld.
As an investigative journalist, he has uncovered scandal, corruption, and please go back from the seats of power at the White House to corporate America, known and respected in Britain as the most important investigative journalist of our time, Tribune Magazine, Pallast has broken some of the biggest stories, including how Bush killed the FBI's investigation of the Bin Laden family prior and after 9/11.
How the Bush family stole the 2000 election. How Enron cheated, lied, and swindled its way into the energy monopoly. And these provocative exposés are pure Pallast territory, as well as groundbreaking reports on the World Bank, the IMF, the World Trade Organization, Walmart, and much, much more. Screened with Pallast's gutsy in-your-face style and animation by Keith Tucker, who framed the Roger Rabbit. And I was kind of surprised because remember when we had Greg on our show back when the California recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's right.
On, remember?
Mm-hmm. I do. I remember
and,
very clearly.
Greg exposed that
mm-hmm.
and stated that Schwarzenegger was put up to it by Enron
mm-hmm.
because Enron was being sued by the state of California for $6 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I remember the, who was it, the lieutenant governor who was running for governor
mm-hmm.
against Schwarzenegger.
Wanted to throw
him out. No, he was supporting the lawsuit. He was
That's
running the
right.
lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the minute that Schwarzenegger won, he abolished the lawsuit against Enron. Really quite a crooked bunch. But,
oh, it's very
but Greg, crooked. Greg Pallast was the guy who discovered that, and we were the first radio show that covered that at that time. So I wonder where Greg went.
He's still there?
Yeah, I guess so. He's still on the line, I guess.
Well, let's go to... Let's see where the film is.
Oh, he hung up. He hung up.
Oh, okay.
Must have had a problem there. Or maybe he got disconnected. Let me call him back
mm-hmm.
because we hadn't finished and see if he'll...
see if he's still available. He might have to do something if it's a
This
premium.
Is Greg Pallast. Leave your name and phone number. I'll call you back.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Greg, you forgot us here. You disconnected us. This is Leo and Lila. The number is 646-915-9505. Also, anybody who wants to call in can call in that number, 646-915-9505.
But if you're in the midst of something else, we do understand, and we appreciated your time. So we'll be moving on.
So we're leaving a message for him. So give us a call when you get a chance there. We're on for another half an hour. You're always welcomed. So anyway, that was Greg Pallast, and I'm sure he was in the middle of a thing, so I'm sure his...
I'm sure he was very busy.
Yeah, he probably disconnected, so that's okay. But, we like Greg. We appreciate him for what he's done over
there. And we appreciate his work. He does great
and,
work.
Some reason, I don't know why. I'm glad, grateful he took us tonight because it looks like he wasn't prepared to.
Right.
I don't know what happened. So I don't. But anyway, that's where we are. So anyway, we want to go back to some of the news and blues here, that's happening. But anyway, if you get a chance to catch Greg's movie and his book, Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
Which was a bestseller at the time.
It was, yeah. It was.
Excellent book.
Yeah, it was. It was about the same kind of thing about
voter fraud. It was voter fraud and how people stole elections,
yeah.
But I guess it's going to be much worse than ever before.
That's pretty cool.
Scary.
Yeah, so
let's move on to some other stuff.
Yes. What I wanted to do is go to check out some of this stuff. This is kind of interesting. Lou Dobbs stated today that it was very good news for Trump's fans. If you're a Democrat, do not watch this. Lou Dobbs, it was very good news for Trump team on a new poll. I was very surprised to hear that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know where these people do these polls.
But Lou Dobbs was very good news today. This is today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
for Trump team and Trump fans. Democrats will feel sick to their stomach if they see this video. Trump is crushing Hillary all over America. And this is very sad for liberals and lefties in America. We love it. This is the video.
Well, let's see what he is.
Oh, it's kind of, yeah.
I'm just curious.
Wow, this has been seen, whoa.
I have lost respect for Lou Dobbs, though, I tell you.
Yeah, I did too.
Fox News polling three important battleground states for the first time this election season. These latest polls show Donald Trump pulling ahead of Hillary Clinton in Nevada, in North Carolina, and Ohio. In Nevada, Trump has a three-point advantage over Clinton, 43-40. In North Carolina, Trump has pulled ahead by 5 points, 45-40. And in Ohio, another must-win state for Trump, there he's up 5 points, 42-37.
Whoa.
The survey polling likely voters.
I was at the Y today, and I was watching, I don't know what station, it was Fox, actually, and they were interviewing people from Ohio, and one student said, I don't like either of them. They're spoiled rich kids.
That's probably true.
And, yeah, I couldn't see why he'd say that.
Yeah. I can see why he said that. That's what they like. But now Greg said, mentioned something. Greg Palast mentioned that now the Koch brothers are behind this mess with a bunch of billionaires, and and that Trump is just a billionaire wannabe.
Not really a
billionaire,
that there's somebody behind him, that hedge fund guy, who's a billionaire.
So what do you got? You got Hillary, who's a crook, and him, who's another crook. So what do you got? But the thing is, they pull them up. That's happened to us too here. I mean, we've been knocked off the air and censored. It happens. My website happens. It happens all the time. They don't want to hear something. They knock you out.
Hillary Clinton's slip up may have just said something that will end Hillary's career. Let's look at that.
Okay.
Play it.
Oh, this is another.
You got to play it.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Okay. It says the daughter of Hillary Clinton. I hate these things. These are ad blank pages. They pop ups. Here we go. Daughter of Democratic Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton believed that the cameras were turned off and inadvertently disclosed that her mother thinks the Affordable Health Care Act should be modified to contain undocumented immigrants. All right. Well, let me see what she says here. And we'll get that if we can get it on.
Well, let's just read what she said if you can't get it on.
My
mom has very strong feelings that we must push as quickly as possible for her comprehensive immigration reform, and this is a real difference between hers and Senator Sanders' record, Chelsea claimed. She supported comprehensive immigration reform at every possible chance, and she was one of the original supporters and sponsors of the DREAM Act. She does not believe that while we are working towards comprehensive immigration reform, we should make people wait, like the families you were talking about, Chelsea continued, which is why she thinks it's important to extend the Affordable Care Act to people who are living and working here regardless of immigration status and regardless of citizenship.
So be sure to tell us that what you think about Chelsea Clinton's statements. They're asking for comment. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, who cares? I don't really care what Chelsea says, but oh no, this is frightening. WikiLeaks documents shows Hillary's plan to place Muslims in key roles, including
this is the kind of stuff that I don't like.
This is why I don't care what you know. This is what scares me.
A series of new emails obtained by WikiLeaks has revealed that Hillary Clinton Hillary Clinton has already decided who she will name as her Secretary of State if she wins this election, and her choice is disturbing. Mad World News reports that emails between Clinton and her former chief of staff, Cheryl Mills, has confirmed that she will choose her right-hand woman, Uma Abedin, as her Secretary of State.
Oh,
my
God.
If she gets elected president, not only would Abedin be the youngest person to ever serve as Secretary of State, she would be the first Muslim to take the position.
And she wouldn't be qualified. I mean, she's not qualified for Secretary of State.
This should come as...
She's her husband, Wiener?
Oh.
That's insane. You know, Carlos
this
Danger?
Should come as a surprise to nobody, considering the fact that Clinton has given Abedin control of virtually everything she has done in her political career. And as we all know, Clinton's career has been full of corruption and political activity, and Abedin has been right at the heart of that. SM Observed offered more detail about Abedin's career beside Clinton. Uma Abedin, 40, served as vice chairman of Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign for president. Prior to that, she served as deputy chief of staff to the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton from 2009 to 2013. Abedin parlayed a 1996 White House internship into a role as Mrs. Clinton's right-hand man or woman. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is listed as the supervisor, certifying Abedin's designation as a special government employee. This classification allowed Abedin to work for an outside consulting firm and the Clinton Foundation at the same time she advised Secretary of State Clinton.
Oh, great.
And this is yet another reason why we cannot let Hillary Clinton get to the White House. And I'll tell you.
You want authorized video to force Hillary to give up her White House dreams.
Yeah, that's not you. These things all suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
And you never can really get to them. That's what I think.
No, and some of these pages are just loaded with crap like that.
That's pretty scary. I don't think that woman is qualified.
No, I don't either. And, but she has to see, I mean, everything has to be approved by the Senate,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, and, you know, once they approve them, then...
But do you see anybody standing up to anything corrupt? No.
So I see anybody standing up to anything Hillary does? No.
No.
No. But putting Aberdeen as, you know, with her husband Wiener, who would be flashing the world, you know,
oh,
I mean, I guess that doesn't
really?
Matter because she's got Bill Clinton who's screwing around everywhere. You know, it doesn't seem to bother anybody. You know?
Bothers me.
Wow, you know.
There isn't even a semblance of any kind of dignity around that woman.
Yeah, there really isn't. There really is not. Okay. So, anyway, as far as I'm concerned, it just keeps getting crazier and crazier, and you don't seem to have any... kind of control over anything, you know? Let's see. And now a completely unprepared man will interrupt a highly prepared woman 51 times only to prove he actually has very little to say.
Well, she didn't have anything to say.
No, she didn't either. It's like, sorry, man.
Well, I thought it was a lousy debate and boring.
To all of my... Why I don't vote.
Yeah, they agree with him.
This is from our friend Oren in Bolton. He says, to all of my confused neighbors and acquaintances, I'm sick of your ignorant, hateful, pathetic behaviors toward each other in the face of this truth. You turn on one another for obsolete expectations and reasons like ignorant sheeple, blindly led to slaughter. Media poisons us, the diploma mills pass for higher education, while quite clearly the Supreme Court and Congress have been bought, paid for, and owned. Profits before people, corporations before the protections formerly reserved for citizens. And in fact, our former democracy is long sold out and dead. Good luck with this sideshow. Now try to be decent human being. It's the only way to make sense of the insanity. Okay. Well, here's George Carlin saying why I don't vote.
I think I've heard this before.
Really?
Yeah.
That's only 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah, I like always like George Carlin.
Okay. Okay.
I just crash-landed in the middle of my life.
It's the ad.
Yep.
Something you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have a selfish, ignorant citizen, if you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to be any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here, like the public. Yeah, the public sucks. There's a nice campaign slogan for somebody. The public sucks. Fuck hope. Fuck hope. Because if it's really just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the other bright people of conscience? Where are all the bright, honest, intelligent Americans ready to step in and save the nation and lead the way? We don't have people like that in this country. Everybody's at the mall, scratching his ass, picking his nose, taking his credit card out of his fanny pack and buying a pair of sneakers with lights in them. Solve this little political dilemma for myself in a very simple way. On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. Fuck them. Fuck them. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. The shit they shuffle around every 4 years doesn't mean a fucking thing. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around. I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the House on Election Day, I'm in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with. So I know that a little later on this year you're going to have another one of those really swell presidential elections that you like so much. You'll enjoy yourselves. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure as soon as the election is over, your country will improve immediately. As for me, I'll be home on that day doing essentially the same thing as you. The only difference is when I get finished masturbating, I'm going to have a little something to show for it, folks.
He's gone now.
But the one that I thought was funny. You have no rights.
It's right there. You have.
Yeah.
No,
choice of illusion. The illusion of choice.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and he's.
Well, he did a lot of those things before he passed, huh?
Well, that one, this one here that we just did, Why I Don't Vote, he did that show in 1996. That was 20 years ago.
Wow.
It still stands today. I mean,
yeah.
It stands today.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah. Now, here's one I should put on. Probably be a good one to put on. Make sure. I don't know what happened to Greg. I guess he just, you know, wasn't able to. He was right.
He had to go into that.
Well, he was in the theater. Yeah, he had to. He was. I'm surprised he took us. I don't know why she scheduled this for tonight, but I don't know.
She obviously didn't tell.
No, something.
Something happened.
So something happened.
But we got him on anyway.
Yeah, that's
so.
Okay. No,
well,
that's great because we're good. So we got a little time with him. Hopefully, we can have him back when he's not quite so tied up there. Well, using the.
He's
at his premiere, waiting to. Anyway, what I wanted to do, why don't we get a few seconds? I wanted to do that. I wanted to show that one. What do you think?
Show what?
Oh, I know I can't show it. I get to YouTube to show it. The one where he says illusion of choice. You want to watch
that?
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Okay. Illusion of choice.
How long is this?
This is only, can't be 8 seconds. Let's get that. Okay.
The paradigm shift.
We like war. We like war. We're a warlike people. We like war because we're good at it. You know why we're good at it? Because we get a lot of practice. This country's only 200 years old, and already we've had 10 major wars. We average a major war every 20 years in this country, so we're good at it. And it's a good thing we are. We're not very good at anything else anymore. Huh? Can't build a decent car. Can't make a TV set or a VCR worth a fuck. Got no steel industry left. Can't educate our young people. Can't get health care to our old people. But we can bomb the shit out of your country, all right. Especially if your country is full of brown people. That's our new job in the world, bombing brown people. Iraq, Panama, Grenada, Libya, you got some brown people in your country. Tell them to watch the fuck out, or we'll goddamn bomb them. When's the last white people you can remember that we bombed? Can you remember the last white? Can you remember any white people we've ever bombed? The Germans, those are the only ones, and that's only because they were trying to cut in on our action. They want want us to dominate the world. Bullshit, that's our fucking job. Now, you probably noticed I don't feel about that war the way we were told we were supposed to feel about that war, the way we were ordered and instructed by the United States government to feel about that war. My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I don't just roll over when I'm told to. Sad to say, most Americans just roll over on command. Not me. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country, who in the case of the Persian Gulf War were nothing more than unpaid employees of the Department of Defense, and who most of the time function as kind of an unofficial public relations agency for the United States government. So I don't listen to them. I don't really believe in my country. And I gotta tell you folks, don't get all choked up about yellow ribbons and American flags. I consider them to be symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded.
That goes on and on and on. You can see the gist of that. But it's an illusion, folks. We don't really have... What you saw last night on that debate, if you saw it, was an illusion. Yeah. An illusion of choice.
You can choose either one, you still get the same thing. That's about what it amounts to.
Yeah.
See, two people backed by very wealthy Americans.
By,
wealthy
by
as
the
in
elite.
The pharaohs, as
by the
Greg said.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
So, I might do a George Carlin. Don't bother.
Me too. Sad. But, you know, I don't know. It's just looking at a picture here from of them the Clintons and the Trumps at Trump's wedding, happy and whatnot, 10 years ago. Maybe,
boy, they both have aged considerably.
Yeah, well, anyway, that was 10 years ago. So, it's almost time. Let me just see if no, Greg never got back to us, so that's okay.
Well, he couldn't.
Yeah. But anyway, I think Walmart workers refused to make this cop's retirement cake, saying it was racist. Do you think of that? I thought that would be interesting to read.
Why would a cake be racist?
I didn't know Walmart workers made cakes.
Maybe they have a bakery in there.
Somewhere,
yeah.
Huh. Well, let's see. It's taking
seems a little bit ridiculous.
Well, let me get this one.
No. I'm not going to get that.
Not keep
buffering.
Yeah. The old buffer. I don't want to. Can't wait a week for that. And then you got Okay. This is interesting here, but this is from Breitbart, so you can probably pretty much think it's true because Breitbart's editor is the chief of his campaign now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at what they say. And then we can... Wow. Exclusive Super PAC launches 7-figure pro-Trump ad targeting blacks in 6 swing states. Huh. That's good. I think they should. Might as well target them, right?
Yep.
You know, when 7, they only get 7 or 8% of the entire, he doesn't realize that they're by targeting the blacks. But Greg just said black voters are being purged from all the systems. So, 2016 committee, Super PAC, first launched to support Dr. Ben Carson, and now focused on opposing Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, is up with $1.45 million ad by targeting African American voters, throughout North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
I didn't know that Pennsylvania had a lot of African Americans.
Central where?
Pennsylvania.
Sure. It's a kind of a border in the southern state. Had a lot of industry there. A lot of African Americans out in a lot of places, you know. But these are target states: North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio. These are target states. These are major important states. The total buy results in 6,156 ad spots in African American markets that will air for more than a month leading up to the election. Wow. What's a hell of a good deal? $1.45 million will buy 6,100 ads for the next month?
Yeah.
Correct, man. Donald Trump knows how to get a deal. I mean, really, that many ads for Hillary was $100,000. You know, wherever she is, wherever she's buying them. But
yeah, go down. What does that say? I can't see that.
It says here... Michigan, the ads will run in Detroit, while in Wisconsin, the ads will air in Milwaukee, which is where all these riots are happening.
What's this list?
216 Committee on distributed 200,000 brochures to church-affiliated African Americans in swing states and highlights the policy differences between Trump and Clinton.
Oh.
Okay. She opposes school choice. He supports it. She supports abortion. He opposes it. She opposes the pipeline. He supports it.
Hmm.
I don't like Trump's, any of Trump's views here. In fact, I don't. And opposes construction of a border security fence. That's Clinton. He supports construction of it. And liberals.
What's the next one?
Liberals will appoint to Supreme Court. Will appoint justices in the mold of the current four liberal members. Regulation of bureaucracy. He wants to shrink it. She wants to expand it. Terrorist infiltration. She supports. Unconcerned with infiltration by terrorists, opposes temporary hold. And he opposes. That's the only thing I agree with him on. Pretty much. No. Plus, he says he wants to put in constitutionalists, provided a list of 11 judges, possible nominees to Supreme Court, who have the constitutional outlook of the late Scalia.
Wow.
Oh, God. God forbid. You know. So, Scalia was one of the conservatives that gave us Citizens United.
Yeah.
You know. So, what a friggin' nightmare. Well, sorry there, Mr. Trump.
I don't agree with any of you anymore.
So anyway, that's it for tonight, folks. We've got a minute left, but I want to thank you for joining us. Sorry that Greg couldn't continue with us a little longer, but things are as they are, and maybe we can get him back again one day.
Yeah, and when the movie that he's made comes your way,
Go see it.
I certainly intend to.
The best democracy money can buy, yeah.
I think it'll be good.
It's out now, so hopefully it'll be in theaters near you.
Maybe in small theaters? That's what I was wondering. I didn't have a chance to ask.
I don't think this is going to get the big production MGM Star Wars special. But it'll
maybe be in small theaters.
It'll be lucky if we can get it all anywhere.
That's
probably
true.
You know, so. Because it's so censored. I mean, this stuff shows who's buying the presidency, you know. And I'm glad he said that about Trump. Cleared up a few things.
Yeah.
To me about Trump's mega billionaire.
So we have Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah. And,
so which Tweedle do you want?
Well, I never thought I'd say this, but neither. I don't want either of them.
I'm going to be like George Carlin.
I don't have to vote on this one. This is too sick. And no matter what happens, they've rigged it. So it's like we just got to fight that system if we can somehow.
Yeah.
vote for Hillary. I can't vote for Trump.
I can't either. I can't vote for either one of them. Both horrible people.
Yeah.
And the one person I thought that would be any good was Bernie Sanders, and he turned out to be a traitor.
Yeah. So
there you have it.
So it's nothing.
There's nobody left.
No. So don't vote, and see you next time.
You do what you want, folks. I know what I'm doing. Think about what you should do. Good night, and...
We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Night, folks.
All right. See you later, folks. Have a good night.